We're on the move, you know. Do you know that? Do you agree with it?
Yes.
Okay, once again, who are you in Christ? I know I'm starting this regularly, but I'm drumming it in. I'm wanting us to get hold of it. I don't think any of us have got the full extent or the full expression of who we are in Christ. Why? Because wherever you are, there is always more. Because if we say there isn't always more, that means we've got to the limit of our God. Well, that's an absolute rubbish, a nonsensical, stupid statement. Who can get to the extremity out of the end of God? We can't. So there is always more. You are a child of God. Amen. And I think we need to embrace that more and more. Yeah. You're forgiven. And you're washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. You're delivered from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. That must be a hallelujah. Yeah. You're a partaker of God's divine nature. Christ lives in us. God's nature is within us. And it's for us to recognize that wherever we go, we carry the presence. We've got God's nature. His likenesses. Isn't that great? The Creator, the best thing there ever was, ever is, and ever will be. And we've got some of those likenesses within us.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But again, let's remember, we're a work in progress.
Yes.
Let's not get too puffed up or too proud. We don't want to be proud at all. But yeah, be pleased, be thrilled, embrace the fact that God said, I've chosen you. We're developing all the time. What's our goal? To fulfill the plans that God's prepared for us. We saw on Wednesday night, we had a clip from Heidi Baker. And she said, your only job is to yield to Almighty God. Well, that sounds simple, doesn't it? Your only job is to yield to Almighty God. And we are to stay on our assignment. What have we to do? Fulfill our God-given goals, our God-given purposes. Where? We've got to do it. In our lives. We've got to yield to Almighty God. How? To stay on the allotted or the allocated assignment. What's been given to us by God, we've got to stick to it. You so often, people will pick something up and get bored. Move on to the next best thing. We're sliced bread. You know, we kind of just keep moving on, reinventing it. So come on, what's our assignment? What's God given us? Why have we got to stick to it? Because it's God's plan and purpose for us. When have we got to do this? Acts 17:26 says, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands and territories. This is our appointed time. God's determined the appointed time. He's also determined the boundaries and the territories. But he also says, extend the place of the stakes, extend the place of the tent. So our boundaries, our territory is increasing. We've got to get hold of that. We're here for such a time as this. So often things can be put off till tomorrow. Is that right? There are certain things we've got to get the timing in God right. Yes. But we're actually in a place, we are here at such a time as this. And God is guiding us and steering us through and moving us on. God's plan, God's timing, using who? Us, His chosen ones. Because let's remember, we didn't choose God. He chose us. And what did He do? He appointed, He anointed, He empowered us to go and to bear fruit. Not just any old fruit and fruit that's going to disappear, but fruit that is going to last. We're talking about fruit going on into heaven, into eternity. Does that excite you? That the things that we're doing, the people that we're going to be influencing, touching, will be moving on into eternity with us. So if you don't like folks, you better get to like them, because we're going to be with them forever. Yes. I don't know what that comment was, but yes. The last few weeks we've been looking at the kingdom of heaven. And more recently we've been looking at Matthew 13, where Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven is like. Up to now, what we've been looking at have really been warnings about infiltration into the kingdom. We've eaten the tares. The different people that are going to be put in alongside, who say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus says, I never knew you. You know? So we're looking at infiltration or lack of depth in the church, when we see with the parable of sower. How many, how much of that land was good, fertile land? How much was the others? But we just keep looking on, we keep moving on, don't we? Because it was as Augustine said, the tares can become wheat. So let's work that along. You know, that even if there are people that are struggling, even the people that are infiltrating, they're going to get saved. Yes. So we keep moving forward with that. But when we look at the parables in Matthew 13, we've got a shift of gear now, or a shift of direction. If we look at Matthew 13, it's just two verses today, and I can get it turned to the right place. Matthew 13, 44 and 45. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And 45, and the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sought and sold all that he had and bought the pearl. What's been said? This was actually straight after Jesus had said, he who has ears, let him hear. Once again, encouraging us. How do we hear? Are we hearing and forgetting? Are we hearing and thinking? Are we hearing and putting into practice? What's actually been said? It's one doesn't seem to have been even looking or seeking. The other was seeking. God reached out in his mercy. I mean, he tells us in Isaiah 65, I let myself be sought by those who did not ask for me. I let myself be found by those who did not seek me. So even if we're not seeking or looking, God can reveal himself and does so often reveal himself. But we've also got Jeremiah 33:3, haven't we? Yes, God's telephone number. Call on me and I'll answer. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I will show you things that you do not know. So we've got both sides there. Those that are looking and those that aren't looking. You know, God's still answering. God's still drawing. What are we looking at here? When the treasure, we've got treasure in the field, we've got the pearl of great price. When the treasure was revealed, in both instances, the outcome was the same. They sold what they had, put everything they had into getting that treasure or that pearl. They sold all to buy the treasure. The treasure that we're looking to is Christ. They gave everything to possess the treasure. What do we give? It says they sold everything to buy. But when we look at Isaiah 55, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what you do, what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Go. He said, come on. Even if you haven't got any money, come and buy. Come and get. Come to me. Seek me. Call on me with all your heart. Both men in the parable were convinced they had something of great worth. Is our faith, our relationship with Jesus, of great worth to us? Are we persuaded? Is Jesus truly our Lord? Are we prepared to give up? Fill the answer in yourself. The lion's bite for February the 8th, a warning. My dear child, I have plans for you that I've prepared for you to walk in, and these plans are good. I desire to see you live in the fulfillment of the promises that I have spoken to you. So I caution you to be watchful, as the devil is always roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. His schemes are sneaky, and in these days they are increasingly subtle. Although some of his methods may be obvious, others are extremely deceptive. But I am not ignorant of his ways or schemes. Draw close to me and seek my counsel, so that you are not deceived. In this season, when doors of great opportunity are opening, it's important to remember that you need my wisdom to discern which doors have been opened for you and who has opened them. My doors lead to promise and life. The enemy doors may look good, but they are distractions in disguise. These false doors are sent to delay. Therefore, remain in my counsel as you move ahead. By my Spirit, you will know which doors I have opened for you and which pitfalls the enemy has planned for you, so that you won't easily be deceived. Always seek my counsel, so that you will know which door is which. Always seek his counsel. The activation point on there was, take a moment to reflect and consider the doors of opportunity that are presenting themselves to you. Reflect on what we think is being, or what we see is being put in front of us. What's from God? What's from the enemy? What do we receive? What do we reject? when the doors are opening and we go through those doors of opportunities, we get, I have called you to be separate. I have called you to be my people, to stand out, not to blend in. You are my representatives on earth in word and deed. You have been faithful in handling a few things, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Receive the upgrade I'm giving you. Are we going to receive that upgrade? Yeah. I mean, there'd be absolutely no hesitation whatsoever if we'll go on an aeroplane and say, oh, come this way, you're going into first class. Yes, please. Yeah, is that the same now? God's saying he's given us an upgrade. But notice that we've been doing and we've handled a few things, but he says many more responsibilities. So as we receive that, we've got to be prepared for more work. We've been saying this a bit. When revival comes, which it surely is, it's going to mean more work. But there again, God's the one. Allow your light to shine before men. Don't hold back. Will you step into the role of being my ambassador for life? How many times have we said there's no retirement in the kingdom? For life? A permanent representative in a foreign land. Yeah. As we look around, you can think, we are, as Christians, we are alienated from the land of from the world around us. I'm calling you to be protectors and stewards of my creation. To spread the fragrance of my love and my compassion. To distribute my blessings to all. And to serve wholeheartedly, no matter what you may come up against. That's another way of saying it's not going to be easy. Some things will be, but some things are going at a push. As a result, you will receive my complete protection. That's a promise from God. And an increase of territory. Your sphere of influence will widen and stretch beyond what you could imagine. Does your imagination take you into places at times and think, how big? What's going to happen? Yeah. How many? How many people are going to get saved in the revival? How many do you want? Yes, thank you. Millions. Because when you think the Welsh revival, he asked for 100,000. God actually gave him 120 and it stopped. Oh, I don't want it to stop. Yeah, 120,000 people. What if you put them around this area and put a circle around, how much would that encompass? But then what about the people beyond? When God's on the move, he can go way further, way faster than we can. But what did he say? When you start going over the hill, all you've got to do is hold on and go with me. And that's it. And when I say over the hill, I don't mean age-wise. I mean over the hill from that prophetic word that we pushed the cart. Yeah. We're told, we are called to serve wholeheartedly. We are called out to serve wholeheartedly. You are? And we're told to trust and obey. There's no other way. That was a song when I was a little lad. So yes, it was. Just like it was. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. And that's still the same now. All these years on. For some time now, I've been mulling over. And mulling something over. And I believe the time's right now. I was going to leave it till later in the year. Last year, last back end of the leaders' meeting, we had Rob Parker came down, and he started talking about a chap from Durham who had come down and had spoken. He called a meeting. There was about 80 believers from the North Riding went along to this meeting. And this chap was talking, and he said he was trying to mobilise the churches to get together, to work together. And what he was talking about was fasting. Oh dear. But he was going, they asked him about it and how he was going to, he said he was going to come back to us. Well, he hasn't come back to us yet. It may be May before he gets back, or June before this chap can come. I thought, we're not waiting that long. I don't think it's right to wait that long. I think the time's now. Jill brought something from Isaiah 66, which I mentioned to you last week, about the God saying he was going to birth something. Isaiah 66. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her child. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? Well, we believe that revival has been dispatched. We moved on from there to we were in the birthing process. That we're in the birth canal. In fact, the babies were even heard crying one night. Prophetic voices hearing the babies crying. We've got to push. That's what came. We've got to push. We've got to keep on pushing. That's been given to us. These thoughts have been put. And then there was another different word was given. The 20th of February. La Nervosa. This week I heard the Lord say, push, focus. Here comes a birthing. This is all the way from Australia. Yes. Here comes a birthing. March will be the beginning of greater momentum, movement, shifting and shaking. Things will become unstuck in March and move. March and beyond, there will be a great mobilizing. What God's saying to us? What are we sensing? Where are we at? And then in, an encouraging word comes from the other side of the world. Say, come on, push. That's the word we've got. Push. Focus. The word push is a strong invitation from the Lord right now to stand tall and fast against anything that is standing against what the Lord is speaking. There is a push that the Lord is birthing that's rooted in deep humility and dependence upon the Lord. It's a resolve deeper than ever that is rooted in the very truth of his infallible word and who he is, that says, refuse to move. I'm not bringing all the word, I'm just bringing parts of it. There's a word, commissioning, that's been shown. The word, Lord, is commissioning us to move forward with revival. That's our task. That's what he wants us to do. Heard the Lord say, push, focus. There's a deeper posture of intercession and focused prayer that I'm leading my people into. It's a place where there is ferocious focus upon me, upon my word and what I am speaking. God's saying, focus on me and on what I have promised. To push in faith, in intercession, to see the birthing I am bringing and the outpouring of my spirit manifested. You will continue to see things shake and shift from March and beyond. God's raising up a people that he wants to be in prayer, that he wants to be in intercession, that want to be focused on what God is doing and seeing. There's going to be an outpouring. It says, can you hear the sound of rain coming? Who was around yesterday? Yes, we've had a lot of rain. But we've said it before, and we've said it in the past, haven't we? You know, it's a case that is what's happening in the natural what's going to happen in the spiritual? Well, I'll tell you what, if it's going to happen in the spiritual, it's going to be mighty wet and busy. I mean, you just look at the fields all around you. They're underwater, the kind of phrase. You know, they're absolutely sodden and saturated, and they can't hold it all. That's puddles upon puddles. That's water where there was never water before. Is that a God saying, come on, get ready. Do you want to embrace this? Get ready. We've got to be listening to God. Can we hear the sound of his outpouring? Can we hear the sound of his army being mobilized? Yes. We want to hear the rattle of the shields and the clash of the swords, don't we? As we keep moving up. We've got to keep listening to God, what he's saying, and keep looking into his word to see what he's saying. We can't be distracted. We've got to keep moving on. We've got to be ruthless. And I don't know about you, but I've been finding lately there are so many things I'm focusing on something and all of a sudden someone else will pop into mind. Think, hang on, get out. I'm not wasting my time with that. Sometimes it goes on for a while. What have I been doing that for? Because the focus has shifted. The enemy is subtle. Oh, that must be done. When should it have been done by? Yeah, it must be done. It can wait another 2 minutes. It can wait another half hour. Yeah, we've got to be careful. We don't let the distractions. No matter what your eyes see in the natural, from March and beyond, keep your eyes on me. There will be great movement of my spirit, great momentum of my spirit, and move of my hand to bring divine order and demonstration of my power and glory, and that I am the great I am. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to see that coming. I want to be lined up in a place. Get ready for the shaking. Get ready for the awe. I'm restoring the awe. I am restoring the awe. That's the awe of who Almighty God is. Because have you noticed over the years, it's become more and more watered down, become more and more flippant the way people approach God. Best buddies, me, you know? No. Come on, he's Heavenly Father. And we've got to have that respect. In that awe. Yes, he wants us to be intimate. He wants us to be friends. But he wants us to respect him. So I'm asking you to join in. To focus and push. God said revival has been dispatched. Thank me for it. Now, pray it into being. As I said, we've heard the babies. We want a sound, safe birth. And we want to something established that is going to keep going and going and going and going and going. Not peter out in a few months' time. Something to keep going. Yeah. We're to yield to Almighty God. We're to stay on our assignments. Let's not get weary, shaken, stalled. Just forget, I'm not going to do that. I've had enough of that. We've been going for so long. It's time to change. What's the latest new thing on the circuit? No. Let's stay focused. Let's increase our resolve, our determination, our willingness to obey. We hear of 1 day, 3 day, 7 day, 21 day, 40 day fasts. Don't panic. What am I proposing? A 24-hour rolling fast. And for some of you who pray fast regularly, you think, this is a bit tame. But for those who don't, it's a good introduction. Because I must admit and confess, I used to fast a lot. We used to go away regularly to men's weekends from Friday through to Sunday. And that stopped. But I believe God is saying, come on. Come on. I'm proposing a 24-hour rolling fast starting at 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. the next day. Now, for those of you who are astute, what have I said there? 6 p.m. till 6 p.m. So that means you miss your breakfast and your dinner. Or your lunch, sorry. Your breakfast and your lunch. So if you're canny, we are at meal times, you're all right. So I'm making it easy. But you see, that's what's been the success of this one in the north of the county. Because it was something that people could do. They weren't set up to fail. And that's easy. All right, we'll go for a 3 day fast. I tell you, by the time you get halfway through the second day, you're chewing. You want something. When you get further than that, you really want something. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Because I like my breakfast. I like my lunch. I like my chocolate biscuits with my coffee. But, what are we prepared to give up? Jesus fasted for 40 days, he tells us, doesn't he? What was he doing at that time? You see, I'm a little bit, the way they're worded in Matthew, it's there under the heading, Satan tempts Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Yeah, to be tempted by the devil. If you read it, if you stopped reading it there, you would think, oh, that was all the time Jesus was being tempted by the devil. But go on to verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after he's hungry, and then the tempter comes in. After 40 days and 40 nights. So often we get that mixed up and think it's all the time. No, it wasn't. So what was Jesus doing for 40 days and 40 nights? Getting closer to the Father. He was praying. His relationship was building. I find that's a bit hard. How can Jesus' relationship get better? But He spent 40 days talking to God. It was only after that that the tempter came. And after his fast, that's when you would think that's his weakest point. He was hungry. That's when the tempter comes in. But he still got nowhere with him. He still got, get behind me. When fasting, we deny ourselves food. This can weaken us. But it's an act, and a voluntary act, of humbling ourselves before God. Because that's what it's doing. When we deny the flesh and say, we're coming before you. We're doing this, Lord, because we want to come before you. It's a voluntary act. And I'm obeying you, Father. I want to draw closer to you. I want a greater intimacy with you. And that's one of the outcomes of fasting. A greater intimacy with God. You know, I know those prayer and fasting weekends, we start the pig unit and everything. And I used to go, and Helen used to look forward to me coming back. Yeah, she looks forward to me coming back anyway. But, you know, from the fasting. And she could always tell the number of dead pigs we had was a reflection on how good the weekend had been. My wallet would be hit really hard some weekends, but we'd had an amazing time with God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God made up for it. We just trusted him. Jesus was on an assignment when he was in the desert, in the wilderness. He was being with God. And the culmination of that was the defeat of the devil. So when we're looking at fasting, there's so many different examples of fasting in scriptures. Fasting has to have a purpose. It's not just denying ourselves food to lose weight. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. Yeah. But I'm talking, you know, it has to have a purpose. We see in Acts 13. Yeah, we see in Acts 13. We're seeking the Lord for direction. Also in Acts 14. Seeking the Lord for direction. When in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah heard of the condition of Jerusalem, he sought the Lord. He wept before the Lord. He fasted and prayed and asked for direction. Prayers of repentance and direction. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, for protection. Psalm 35, for healing. Matthew 17, for deliverance. Esther 4:16, for success. Acts 12 again, for Peter's deliverance. Acts 13, ministering to the Lord. As they minister to the Lord in prayer and fasting. What's that mean? They're worshipping God. They minister in their worship. Exodus 34, Moses, he wasn't on assignment. He went up the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, it tells us, without food or water, it tells us for Moses. I am not advocating that. That has to be a definite, even a 40-day fast with water has to be definite from God. But without liquid, no. I'm suggesting 24 hours without food. What are the goals? Roger Foster said, fasting must forever center on God. Physical benefits, success in prayers, the enduring with power, spiritual insights, they must never replace this God being the center of the fast. Wesley declared, let fasting be done unto the Lord, with our eyes singly fixed on him. Let our intention herein be this, and this alone, to glorify our Father who is in heaven. That's what we're doing. To do that to glorify God. That's to praise and worship Him. I've asked John to put together a memory stick with some instrumental worship on for us to help us through the time of the fast. Because if we've got something we can listen to, we can meditate to it. It's not songs. You're not going to be led into words. There's going to be the music. So as we're looking, I'm going to say this very loosely, a guideline. It's for each one of us to be able to pray, but I'll put some guidelines in just to try and help. Because I don't know about you, but I find it's easier if I've got pointers, move on from one to the next to the next. But I mean, we've got to stay open to what God is saying all the time. What He's saying, when He tells us to look up a scripture, look it up. Write it down. When He tells us something, write it down. When He says, meditate on that, listen to the music and meditate on it. Have the music playing in the background. But in addition to worshiping God, the secondary purpose is we want to see this revival come into being. We're pulling it down. We're asking God to birth it. We are pushing. As we fast, we are pushing into God for the birthing and the growing, the equipping for the revival. Because each one of us needs to be equipped to move forward into this right revival. And the other thing I want to put in there as well, the state of the nation. We are getting into desperate straits in the nation. When you've got a prime minister who is standing up and saying he is really alarmed at what has happened at the recent by-election. When we get somebody who's been voted back in to be an MP, who's been an MP three times and three times has been kicked out, there is something rather sadly wrong. And how many more like that are waiting on the sidelines to move in? There's an election coming up this year. Sue Sinclair has sent me something, prayer for the nation. We believe there is an increasing spiritual fragmentation of those in authority and particularly governmental authority. This has been happening because the church has not stood in its place of unity, humility, holiness, and dominion. We feel the urgency to mobilize prayer as we go into a major year with at least 64 general elections this year. Yeah, and that's so, will you join us? There's a campaign going with CWM that you can join. But, you know, I'm just saying that I believe that's one of the things that I want to put alongside. Praise God. Worship God. Call on God to bring in the revival and pray for our nation. Yeah, they're good. Some pointers there. You know, when I looked at that, I'm carrying on because I think this is important. I had a picture, and it was the shield, the soldier with the armor of God on. We've got a shield and we've got a sword. The shield is the protection and the pushing back of the enemy. The sword is the cutting down and the cutting through of strongholds. It's for us to use the shield and the sword in our prayer time to push back the enemy, to open up the area, and to cut through and cut him down, and to move forward, advance. It's your kingdom come, Lord. It's not for us. It's your kingdom. Practicalities. Yes, I know some are on medication. And we've got to be very careful. But there are ways of cutting down. Don't have any sweets that day or anything like that, you know. It's moderate what you eat. because some things you have, some medication you have got to eat. I know that when Alex used to be on the prayer and fasting again, and he used to disappear every, that's Alex Buchanan, and he would disappear every now and again, being up to his room for a sandwich, because he was on a medication, he could not do without it. So please, if you're on medication, eat something. It may be restricted, but it doesn't have to be just food. How about television for the day? Better still, how about social media? And the telephone. Wow, that would be a big shock, wouldn't it? That's a legitimate fast. Because if you're the time you're spending on that, if you spend it in prayer, I think it might shock you. Yeah. So we're looking at that. Fasting without food if you can, but then fast from other things if you can't. Here's a one. How about having 24 hours of silence? Not talk. The monks used to do it, didn't they? Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, as John just said there, praying gets a bit difficult if you can't talk, because it should be when you pray, say. You know. So shall we rephrase that? Only in prayer, talk in prayer. Yeah, okay. I know some are at work. That sounds like a donut. Some are at work. What about your mealtime? Spend the mealtime, instead of at the table or eating, praying. And if you can, spend other time during the day. Yeah. Because the thing is, even if you're at work, you will have one evening at home. So spend time just asking God there and going through, you know, praying different things. I said, I'm going to put a few guidelines, just guidelines. It's not compulsory, but just a few guidelines together. John's putting this memory stick together and we'll start a fast, a rolling fast. That's what I'm asking you to do. As a body, are we prepared to go this far? Something I missed out. We all take it easily. As Jesus said, when you pray, say. That's fine. We take that on board, no problem at all. But actually, about six verses further down, Jesus says, when you fast. It's an expectation of Jesus. In fact, when he said, when you fast, he's commanding us. So, I'm not putting that on you to be heavy, but I'm just stating that's a fact that Jesus, what Jesus said. So that's what I'm asking. I've got a sheet that Helen's typed out that I would like you to sign up to. If there's more than one on the same day, that would be great. Because I don't know, my thought as I was sharing with John and sharing with Helen is that I would like this to get into, I don't mean routine in the wrong sense of the word, but on a roll that it just keeps going. It's all right saying, let's do it for 7 days, let's do it for 14 days. But if we were prepared to say, right, one day every week or one day every fortnight, I'm going to fast. And we just do it. And we keep it going. We keep the roll going. That means as a church, as a body, we could be praying 24/7 right the way through. Now, if we're anything like the Moravians, they had 100-year prayer meeting. I don't know. I won't see that out. But, you know, just a thought. So I'm just asking you, I know it's a bit short. I want to start it on Wednesday. Think, what? That quick? Well, if we leave it and we keep leaving it and we keep leaving and we keep leaving, so it's get together. So I'll have something put together for Wednesday. You know, what I think the easiest thing is if I could put mine onto the prayer loop. You're the church. WhatsApp. Put it on there and you'd have the pointers. Yeah. I have to learn how to put it on, but never mind. You know, take a photograph of it, I know that. Yeah, so, and that's what I'm looking to. And we can see if we can try and spread it around. Even if you don't want to do the same day every week. You know, that's the beauty of sin. If we had a number of people each day, if one week you can't do it, there's still somebody else. That's the beauty of sin, going on a weekly or a fortnightly basis. For the number of people we've got, we haven't got 800 in the church yet. You know, and then it would be a lot easier to do. But with the number we've got, I still believe we can do a rolling fast. And if you would consider each week and do it that way, if not each fortnight and do it that way. Okay. That's where I'm up to. So we'll actually be looking at it. I feel there's an urgency when it's coming in from different places and different things. I think it's so important that we do. So pray, listen to the music, meditate, hear what's been said, look at the scriptures, record them, journal them. Yeah. Let's see what God's saying. Be expectant. God wants to speak to us. So let's hear what he's saying, and then we can share it with each other. Doesn't that excite you, that each week we could be saying, what have we got to share? And we've got, whoa, how many folk have we got to share this morning? You know, because God has been speaking to us. Keep focused. Push. When we're pushing, we're saying, God, we want this revival. Amen.